I couldn't help but as I watched those pictures on the video, think about the church that God allowed me to pastor for 22 years. And some of you were there in that transition. I appreciate that. But I want you to turn your Bible tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I don't know how long my voice will hold out. But if you'll get 1 Timothy 1, I'm going to do something Brother James taught me to do years ago. Get 1 Timothy 1, Ephesians 4, and Jeremiah 3. there's a lot that's going to be said, I'm certain, over the next couple of days about these men that have given their life to Old Pass Baptist Church. But I kind of want to take a little bit of a different slant beginning the meeting. And here in Jeremiah chapter 3, if you look what the Bible says in verse number 15, it's already been mentioned, quoted. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord. Now, I want to stop there. Would you look at the heart of God for just a moment in verse 15? I will give you pastors according to my heart. In other words, I love my people enough. I have a heart for my people. So I'm going to give them pastors that are going to feed them so that they might increase. I have a gift that I want to give you. Same things that said in Ephesians chapter 4, would you look there? Ephesians 4, verse number 11, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. God gives the gift of pastor to his church, and the Bible lists the reasons why that's important. When you come to verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the body is increased by the gift that God gives to the church in the way of a pastor. In Jeremiah, Israel is increased by the gift of pastors to those people. And it's an indication of the heart that God has for you at Old Paths Baptist Church. The fact that you have men that fed you the Word of God and loved you is a testimony to them, but I'm going to tell you, it's a greater testimony to the fact that God has a heart for you and your family. One of the treasures I have in my office is a big, tall, black back Bible. And I was given that Bible by a dear friend of mine, Brother Chuck Coffey. Brother Coffey was a decorated veteran of the Vietnam War. And I went to see him after he basically stepped aside from the ministry, and I'm in his upstairs man cave, and he's showing me all of his decorations and all of his awards and Bibles and guns and all that. And it's time for me to leave. And he stops me and he says, Joel, let me give you something. And he reaches over and he takes this big black back Bible. He said, Ian Paisley gave me this Bible because I was part of the security team when he came to Virginia Beach and preached a meeting there. And he flipped to the inside, and it had Ian Paisley's name signed, and then he took out a pen, and he signed his name underneath that and said some kind words. And then I began looking in the Bible. And in the Bible, there were pages folded, page after page of sermons that he had preached as a young man. And I put that on my desk, and every now and then one of the young men in our church come by, and they pick it up, and they say, who gave you this, preacher? And I say, well, I got it from a dear friend of mine that he was given by Ian Paisley. And they begin looking, wow, look at all these sermons in here. And wow, and who is Ian Paisley? And I begin to tell them a little bit about how he stood up to the face of Catholicism there in Northern Ireland. And listen, usually somebody says, wow, that's a really nice gift. You know, they must have loved you a lot. And I'm telling you tonight, Old Pass Baptist Church, the Lord Jesus Christ must have loved you a lot to give you some pastors like these men. He must have set his heart on you and decided to open up something very unique and very special and give it to you, because contrary to popular belief, churches like yours are very difficult to find, and pastors like you've been given are even harder to find. So God gave you something. Look, if you would, there in 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in saying that, Paul begins the book and he starts off, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Skip down, if you would, down to verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. And I'm going to stop there just a minute. Now, he's going to thank God for what he did for him, but I think not only is it applicable to you as a church, but it also is true of these men. That he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what I say tonight? I think you ought to have a thankful heart. And I'm going to say, I think you ought to have a thankful heart that's genuine. Look, there's a lot of things to be thankful for. You can be thankful for your church. Could you say amen to that? Amen. Just having a heart full of gratitude. You could be thankful for the family that God's given you. You could be thankful for the truth that God has given you. You can be thankful for the men that God has placed in your life. You can be thankful for the victories he's given. Just like this building we're in tonight. Look, I believe this is a testimony to the grace of God. And to be thankful for that. And as you begin to look in the passage, some things to be thankful for, I want to remind you about how much of a gift God's given you. In verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now I want to say tonight, church, I want to encourage you to have a grateful heart, a thankful heart for the gift that God gave you in these pastors, because God gave you some men whose lives were transformed by the gospel of Christ. And when I say that, he says in verse number 13, who was before. You see that in your Bible? What Paul was before he got saved. He was a blasphemer. That means he took God's name in vain. In Acts 26, he encourages others to take God's name in vain. It goes on to say in verse 13, he was a persecutor. That he did horrible things to the church. He wreaked havoc, the Bible says. And then in verse 13, and injurious. All these things that he used to be. Well, I'm telling you right now, one of the things that knit my heart to these men, particularly I know Brother Joe's testimony and Brother Jay's testimony a lot better than I do Brother Charlie's, and that is this, that God genuinely transformed the men you have as pastors in their salvation. These men are genuine. They're real. They're not some slick, polished thing that came out of a seminary to bring all sorts of ideas forward to you. They are men whose lives have been so dramatically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. What they were before. And I'm not going to go into what all they were before, but I've heard their testimony. I know how they used to live. Some of you know how they used to live. You know what they used to pursue, what was important to them, what their life was full of. And then one day they met the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day they met the Lord Jesus Christ, their life was inalterably changed by the gospel. You know what that leads me to say? You've got pastors that are real and genuine. I don't think that they try to work up excitement. You know, I love hearing Brother Joe. He'll say things like this, give them Jesus. I've borrowed that and I put that at the end of my text. Give them Jesus. Get everybody get their hands together. All right, Jesus on three. One, two, three. Jesus. Boy, and to see the excitement and the fervor that Brother Folk continues to have even when he had darker hair. Amen. I think it's genuine. Brother Folk came to our church in Greenville, and he spoke at least twice. And he started talking about how important the Bible was to him and how much of a blessing it was to get a drink of that water. He was so excited preaching to our college and preaching to our high school, talking about the Word of God. Hey, you ought to thank God you have men like that, that are genuine. Not something that is trying to mimic somebody else, but they have a life that's been changed by the gospel of Christ. Who before? Paul says it. He says, look what I was before. Who was before a blasphemer? I go back to verse 12 and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll tell you right now, I'm glad of my own salvation. I'm glad that there's a God in heaven that can take something that's a mess and put salvation on the inside of it and give it a reason to live. Amen. A life transformed by the gospel of Christ. Let me read a verse to you as I was thinking about that very thing. In 1 Corinthians 6, just let me read this to you. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now, can you put your name anywhere in here? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. But, what's a good conjunction right there? But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. I don't have a religion. I've got a life that's been changed by God Almighty. It's a reality. It's a transformation in my heart. I became a new creature in Christ. What I was, I'm not anymore. God gave you that kind of a gift. I think that's the reason they're committed to the gospel. I think that's the reason this church remains committed to getting the gospel around the world and sending missionaries out. I remember in Alabama, we began having some families to go to the field, and they were our best families. And it was something that was bittersweet. I remember talking to Brother Joe about that. Brother Joe, I've got some of my best families leaving. I don't know how I'm going to replace them. He said, Joel, we've been talking about it, and that's back when we were meeting in that other building on the other side there, and all the missionaries' pictures on the walls. He said, I'm looking around and seeing all the ones that are leaving here, and sooner or later it's just going to be me and Jay and Brother Barkowski sitting around. Everybody's going to be gone. You know, most pastors would do everything in their power to stop that from happening. But when you've got a pastor whose life was transformed by the power of the gospel, he believes that somebody else ought to have that same opportunity, willing to give up the best that he has. I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for that. Well, look at verse number 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. Well, we've heard that tonight. Putting me into the ministry. That word enabled, it only occurs one time in your Bible. Once. One time. To enable is to give sufficient power to. Now, you know, I personally believe that I think it's good to learn what you can learn. I heard somebody say this the other night. They said that it is not a mark of being filled with the Holy Ghost if you're ignorant. All right. I believe you ought to learn. I think you ought to study. I think you ought to use your ability. Every time I come to this church and see the orchestra play, I mean, what a blessing that people are using their ability. And I think you ought to use your ability. I think you ought to be trained. There's so many things that use your personality. But when you get right down to it, now listen, when you get right down to it, these men in their ability, in their talents, in their education could not have created what is here at Old Pass Baptist Church. In other words, it's going to take somebody with a whole lot more power to get the job done than the ability that they have. Amen. And what Paul said, he says, I thank God that he enabled me, he empowered me, he gave me power beyond my ability. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, I sit back sometime. Somebody the other day said, boy, Brother Logan, we sure do appreciate what you're doing with these children. I said, I cannot take any credit for that. That is the work of God, not my work whatsoever. And I'm going to tell you, you need a pastor who's working in the power of God, not in the power of the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. A pastor that can trust in the power of God. Look at 2 Corinthians. Turn there if you would. Leave a mark right there in 1 Timothy just a moment. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2. How many of you think the devil hates Old Pass Baptist Church? Well, some of y'all didn't say amen. Which side are you on? All right. If you don't think the devil doesn't hate Old Pass Baptist, how many of you think the devil hates your pastors and their families? I mean, hates them. Hates them. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. A question is asked at the end of verse 16. And who is sufficient for these things? Well, what things? Verse number 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. You have an adversary. Listen, how many of you know that you're probably not well liked in Rochester? Could you say amen to that? I remember they'd put you at the back of the parade. Didn't even put you in the middle, put you at the back. Didn't appreciate what you stand for. Look, Satan doesn't appreciate what this church stands for. And anybody, any young men in here that want to aspire to the ministry, you are no match for Satan. No match. And then look what the Bible also goes on to say there in the same passage, verse number 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was open unto me of the Lord. So you have great opposition in verse 11. Verse 2, you've got great opportunity. Boy, a lot of people like to say, boy, I can't wait to get an opportunity. It's kind of like the guy that sits on the bench all year that wants to get in the game. Put me in the game, coach. Put me in the game. Put me in the game. I want to play. Can I go in this quarter? Can I go in this game? And finally he gets in the game. Ball gets in his hand and he stops and goes. It is a huge responsibility to pastor a group of families and people like yourself. What an opportunity, but what a weight on your shoulder to try to come up with answers for people's questions and try to help them with their marriage. Listen, I'm telling you right now, I don't care how many degrees you have and how much experience you have, you need the help of God to counsel people. If you're going to help a marriage survive, you need God's power. Amen. If you're going to see children come back and get right, you need God's power. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, I believe you've got some men that are not operating in the flesh. I believe they're operating in the power of God. Who is sufficient for these things? He answers the question. Chapter 3, look at verse number 5. I love this verse. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Brother Folk, how do you do it? God. Brother Barkowski, how do you do it? God. Brother Camilleri, how you get it done? I'm telling you how I get it done. I get it done through the power of God. What a blessed church to have pastors like that, that operate in the power of God. Oh, today in the age we live in, administration is at a premium when it comes to pastoring a church. And I'm not against administrating, but our churches would be better off if somebody in the pulpit had the power of God on them than somebody had the ability to get all the things put in the right places. We need the power of God. I think you've got men like that. In fact, Paul, if you look at it, look if you would in Acts chapter 14, just a few more pages to your left there, Acts 14. Get Acts 14 and 1 Timothy chapter 6. Acts 14, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, the only time in the Bible the word enable occurs is when Paul is talking about, hey, God enabled me. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6, Acts 14. Look at 1 Timothy 6. Another time, a word only occurs one time. In verse number 15, the Bible says this, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only. Can you say that word for me? Oh, come on, let's try it a little bit better than that now. All right. which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only what?
Potentate.
What a word. Potentate. Now, I get the King of Kings, that's easy. I get the Lord of Lords, that's easy. Potentate, what does that mean? Potent, power. You have impotent men in the Bible. They have no power. But we have, but we have a God who is the only potentate. In other words, he's the only one that has the power. Amen. Everybody gets talking about Trump, gets talking about North Korea. Hey, look, they are small players on that stage. The Bible talks about, listen, that all the nations are as grasshoppers and as a drop in a bucket. We've got a big God. And you've got men who have relied on that big God. Paul was one of those men. Look at Acts 14. Acts 14 just show you how it works. All right, Acts 14, you got a man the Bible speaks about here in chapter 14, verse 8. There was a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. All right, no power in his feet. That's his problem. Being a cripple from his mother's womb, that's how long he had the problem. All right, from the time he's born, he has no power in his feet. And then look at the duration, or who, and really the result, who had never walked one time. Oh, never walked. You know, my daughter the other day was coming out of a store with me, and I offered my arm to her, my 18-year-old daughter. She's graduating down in Pensacola. We let her walk across the stage, and she put her arm right, put her hand right there, and we're walking, and all of a sudden, Joe, it dawned on me. Whoa, wait a minute, get that off my arm right there. One day she's going to get to walk down an aisle. I hope. She walked across stage and got a diploma. We just, listen, we've handed those out in South Carolina. We make such a big deal on when a baby walks for the first time. Oh, wow, look, he's taking steps. He's walking. This man had never walked ever at all in his life. No power. Paul comes along with what it says in the next verse. All right, I'm just talking about Paul said, God enabled me. Verse number 9, the same heard Paul speaking, who steadfastly beholding him and perceived that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. So the command he gave him was to what? Come on, what was he told him to do?
Stand.
Come on, he told him to do what now?
Stand.
He told him to stand. All right, look what he does. Verse number 10, and he leaped and walked. All right, leaping is not standing. Walking is not standing. Paul looks at this man and he says, stand on thy feet. And this guy, he jumps up.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Before you learn to walk, all right, you got to crawl, scoot, do whatever, and you got to finally get your legs underneath you. This man, in one moment of time, this man, what are you? I don't know if you're getting this. This man, in one moment of time, Paul said, hey, stand on thy feet. And he didn't just stand. He gets up and he jumps up and lands and then starts walking. You know what that is? That's the power of God. And I'm telling you right now, some of you in this church, your marriage, your home, your business, it was enabled by the power of God working through your pastor. God must love you a lot. God must love you a lot to give you somebody that would be able to have an ability beyond their ability to help you live your life. Listen, there. How many missionaries in here? Would you raise your hand? Oh my. The battle's on the field. The problems in the ministry on the mission field. Calling the pastor, what do I do? You know what you need? You need a man of God that's connected to the power of God to help you in that region. You don't need to just have somebody that says, well, let me pick up this book and read a little bit what I can find here for you. No, I want somebody that's connected to God that can help me get down the road. And you've benefited from that. God must love you to give you men that are enabled by the power of God. Last thing, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Just trying to say God's showing his heart toward Old Pass Baptist Church by giving you a gift of pastors whose lives have been transformed by the gospel, whose lives have been enabled by the power of God. And then lastly, verse number 13, Paul says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. I believe you've been given men who have an overflowing grace of God in their life. That is such a blessing to have. There are some churches that have to suffer underneath a man that is heavy-handed. It's his way or no way. That is not Old Pass Baptist Church. Otherwise, Brother Barkowski would have made Ron sit down, right? Sit down. There are pastors heavy-handed. There are pastors that don't care. Listen, he says exceeding abundant with faith and love. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. I really don't know another man that walks and prays a couple hours in the morning for all of his people like your pastor. How many of you think that's a gift from God? You know, the Bible talks about that throne of grace. You've got somebody there at that throne of grace interceding for you, your children, your wife. Listen, when things are problematic, you got somebody holding you up before the throne of God. What a gift that God's given you. That the heart might be established with grace. I've watched Brother Folk be kind to these kids and just, I mean, talking to them like they're somebody important. And you know, and I've never heard Brother Jay raise his voice, but I... No. I'm going to leave that one alone. But I hear gracious words coming out of his mouth. You go preaching some places and boy, the preachers get you alone. They start telling you, I'm telling you, this woman right here, she got a tongue as long as Texas. And boy, this family and this guy and that guy. These men talk about their church like it's a great church. You ought to appreciate that. Because how many of you know you got big problems? And how many of you know your pastor knows what your big problems are? He knows them, doesn't he? We don't go to confessional, but we do go to our pastor. And your pastor knows your problem. And if he wanted, he could hang it up on a big sign. But you know why people love it? Because they haven't done that. There may be tough love in confronting that, but listen, a life of grace doesn't mean that you don't ever sit down and talk about an issue, but having kind words and easy words that are easy to hear. You know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ? The Bible says that he was full of grace and truth, and that out of his lips they wondered at the gracious words that came out of his lips. I wonder at the men that God has given you to pastor. It's a blessing that they've got grace in their heart, that they look. Grace is just favor. Come on, how many of you think God did you a favor by giving you your pastor? I look around this room tonight. I cannot get over the favor that God has given me in my life. You know, I've got friends here tonight, Brother Fallure, Brother James. I got Yankee friends, man. Teachers in the back. No idea why God would have let me have him in favor with your daddy. The church that I'm pastoring. The church I pastored for 22 years in Alabama, the people, the good people that God put in that place, the mother and father that I have, a brother that has never dipped his colors, always been involved. You know, the wife God gave me, the children, the daughter that was born with a congenital birth defect, but now walks about as if there's not anything that's ever been wrong. You know, I just have to say, man, God, why would you love me that much? Why would you care about me that much? Hey, old past, you understand God to give you gracious pastors that are enabled by God's power, that have been transformed by the power of God in their life? God must love you a lot. He must care about you a lot. Your children must be important to him. How many times I hear on the video tonight somebody say these words? When I think about old paths, I think about family. God must have cared enough about your family to give you those kind of people. You know what I think? I think you ought to be grateful. Now, I'm sure you are. I'm sure that there's probably going to be other gifts and things given. Who knows what's going to happen? But it doesn't end there, and this is the last point I'll make tonight, and I'll be finished. If you look there in 1 Timothy, all these gifts were for a reason. Remember when we started Jeremiah 3 and 1 Timothy chapter, or rather Ephesians 4, those gifts of those pastors were for the increase of the body. Look what the Bible says in verse number 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. He was a pattern. He was a pattern. Brother Joe, can I have your Bible? Thank you, sir. Right. Brother Barkowski, can I have your jacket? He's not, you packing a gun or something. I'm making me afraid. Brother Jay, can I have your little pointy thing you lead the singing with? It's a pen. It always looked more impressive from a distance, brother. All right, so God loved old paths so much that he gave you a gift of men who are real because their lives were transformed by the gospel. He loved you so much that he gave you men who were enabled by his power, not their power. All right? And you know what I think in exchange God's looking for? Somebody to pick up that Bible and that jacket. And that pen, and continue the pattern that you've been given. Because I'm going to tell you, when I hear reports back home from Alabama, boy, preacher, Joel, we had families visiting today. We had three people saved, somebody baptized. Man, God just all over the place. My heart, and my heart just says. And some of you younger generation, the battles that were fought for you to be in this building tonight were very hot and hard. Maybe not for you, but for these people. And you know what? Somebody ought to take that example and say, you know what? That's the kind of family we want to have. We want to have that kind. I want, you know what? It'd be good for some young men in here to say, I want God's power on my life. I want to be full of his grace to other people. I want to be transformed, real, genuine. I want somebody to pick that up and run with it and say, you know what? You hadn't run in vain. Hadn't run in vain. You know, you can't win them all, but it's obvious that there's been a whole lot of victories around this place. Amen? I know when he was looking at, I don't know, I know what I was thinking as a pastor. Those pictures are going up on that screen, and I know what I'd be doing. Yeah, I remember them. They're not here anymore. I remember her. I remember him. But you can't look at that. Turn around and look behind you, guys. Look behind you, Charlie. Y'all look behind you. That's a lot of victory. Now, they don't all love you. You know that. But that's a lot of victory. And from my heart, listen, I appreciate the opportunity just to even be here and to be able to have a small part in honoring men that have given their life, that God gifted to this church because his heart was for you. Amen. Amen. All right, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the privilege to cross paths with people that are better than ourselves, that make us better. And Lord, for this church, Lord, these young families that are here, the old ones that perhaps are on the field, others that are no longer here. Thank you for the example these men have given. Thank you, Lord, for the years of faithful service, but Lord, for the power that has come from heaven that has rested on this place, for the grace that has come from a gracious God. Lord, for the transforming power of the gospel that has been right here present, Lord, so many times seeing people wondrously saved. God, would you let it continue? God, would you help people to pick up that example that these men have set and run with patience their own race? And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Yes, sir.
You know, we used to talk a lot. Oh, we got one more guest. Late arrival. I'm sorry. Two guests. We had some plane difficulties. Now, I just want to say, you know, we used to talk a lot about, in this church, a lot of messages about having a vision for your family. And, you know, tonight we're here to honor these pastors and, you know, for their faithfulness. But it's also a challenge for us to look back and consider the paths that we set ourselves on, and are we still on them? Are we still pursuing that vision? And if not, this is the time to renew it. And so let's stand together, let's sing one more, and we'll sing a hymn. We'll have a special. After the special, Brother Fleur, you can come and preach. Let's turn to number 26. I picked a hymn every service that I think that one of the pastors would like. And this one is for the man who has, I think, the beating heart of our music ministry in this church, and is the reason why we do things the way we do. He's the heart, he's the conscience, he's the fire, and I am very thankful for that. And if you've ever been to his house for a picnic, this is the hymn that we're going to sing before we eat. I mean, every time. So let's sing it again, number 26, Come Thou Fount.
Oh, too great.